Hey, good morning. Evening. I was going to say good morning, everyone, but it's evening now. How's everyone doing today, tonight? Hope you had a good afternoon, restful afternoon in the Lord, and glad you made it back here to be with us tonight. And my brain went blank there for a second. Okay, let's all stand and sing number 142, There Is a Fountain. Ooh.
Nancy, Brother Ken, and everybody, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. We're going to go back. What I would probably say is my greatest hits. Not that it's very good, but it's simply on the level I should be able to understand. And that's Luke chapter 19, Lessons from a Donkey. We're going to talk about a donkey tonight. I guess it's because I'm just that simple. If a donkey can get it, surely sooner or later I'll get it before I go to glory. But do we have, just a quick question, and I know probably no one in here has it. Does anybody happen to have the new prayer list that was handed out Wednesday night? I brought the wrong jump drive. It's on my, you know them things. Let me see. You know, the ones that you take from one computer and put it into another computer when you have something you remember? Flash drive, yeah. That's me jump drive. That's my idea, because you jump from one to the other. That's my definition, okay? But I've lost my jump drive, and so if anybody, I ain't lost it, I just grabbed the wrong one. If anybody has the list of our physical needs from Wednesday night, I'd appreciate it. If not, we're just going to trust that the Lord knows them. But does anybody have it? I didn't think so. I knew who was here Wednesday night, and I think I know who got them. But tonight we'll be in the book of Luke 19, and we'll be beginning in verse 29, and we'll be reading through the rest of the verse as we look at, again, Palm Sunday and the idea of Christ coming in to, and we call it the triumphal entrance, but praise God, all he can do is triumph. Remember, we talked about there's three things that God cannot do. He cannot lie, he cannot die, and he cannot fail. Amen. But before we go any further, we want to tell you, those that's watching by Facebook tonight, it's good to have you. If you're listening by FM radio, we're thankful that you're here with us. And remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. We are looking forward to this upcoming week. We have a lot going on. Don't forget our Tuesday morning prayer meeting at 11 o'clock, and then our regular Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. To be honest with you, I thought I had another hour to prepare, because, see, on Sunday nights, usually the Awana comes down, and I know I've got an hour when their time of listening begins. And so tonight they didn't come down. They stayed outside. So thank God I got them printed off early. But don't forget, also, on this upcoming Friday, Good Friday, we'll be having a Good Friday meal and message. So come and be with us for that. It's at 11 a.m. And then also on Friday night, there's an egg hunt and family night. There'll be a movie as well that begins at 6 p.m. And then beginning Sunday morning at 6:45, we'll be meeting up at Brother Otis's and Sister Lynn's up on the hill. And if you don't know where that's at, be here by about 6:30, I think is what they said this morning. And go up there, and then we'll be having our regular services there. So to God be the glory. We're looking forward to a good week this week as you're turning to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Anyone? We do want to continue to pray for Sister Judy Keck. I was texting with her today, and just keep praying for her. And then also Ricky Sheffield family. He went home to be with the Lord last night, and want to pray for him. Do we have any other prayer needs that we need to remember? How is Carly and Kennedy, Brother Keith? Do they? I know that Brother Kay's granddaughter, Kaylin, had it as well this morning. And then continue to remember Amy, as she's been dealing with some physical issues there. Anybody else? How you spell that? Hold on. I didn't know how to spell that name. Tell you what, Brother Danny's got a little bit coming up. We know God's going to bring healing and going to claim his healing. Remember, we studied on Wednesday night that if two or more come together concerning a matter, that God will give it in Jesus' name. So we pray for God's healing there. Anyone else? We want to remember Sister Melanie Lester and y'all's family as well. Yes, Dixie Bundy, unexpected, going on to glory. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. We were talking about that before service tonight, that we don't know. Dixie Bundy, Sister Donna. Yeah, I wrote his name down. I do have it. I promise you that. I put it on there. And then Anthony. Brother Colby lifted that name up for both physical and spiritual healing there. We've got him. And don't forget, we have over 200 and some odd on our Tuesday morning prayer list at 11. Anyone else? Can you spell that last name? We will remember that. Brother Otis?
Remember Glenn's sister, Kim?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? And we do always want to give praise to the Lord, because whether we recognize it or not, He's always favoring us. His hand of blessing and His hand of favor is upon us as His children. And like we said this morning, there's always been two opposing positions, two opposing either life and blessing or death and destruction. And so as His children, He has promised that He will favor us and bless us, and that He has a plan for us, a place for us to what we would call our end point, Jeremiah 29:11. So anything else before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer? We'll do it. Brother Keith, you want to come and lift us up in prayer tonight? I've got these names down, and the Lord knows that we have many, many others, especially those that are bereaved, those that's dealing with COVID. And it's not just those dealing with the sickness, but those that's been affected, family members and stuff like that, okay? Brother Keith, and the altar is always open. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, dear God, for another opportunity to be in Your house tonight. Lord, as all of the names that's been mentioned on the prayer list tonight, those that's lost loved ones, we just pray, dear God, that You comfort their heart as only You can. And Father, those that are sick, I just pray that You give the doctors knowledge and wisdom to help them, Lord, to make them better. Lord, we just pray for Brother Brian as he stands tonight to teach Your words. I just pray their hearts and our minds will be open to receive Your word tonight, God. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail You, for it's these things we ask in Your precious holy name. Amen. All right. Somebody left their cough drops up here. All right. Tonight we're going to just kind of look at the donkey and the idea behind as we see the prophesied word of Christ fulfilling what was prophesied over in the book of, Zechariah in chapter 9, in verse 9, where he was prophesied to come in on a donkey. Let's look at Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 29, and we'll read on through about verse 40. And it came to pass, when he, meaning Jesus, was come nigh to Bethpage at Beth and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at year entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him thither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found, even as he, Jesus, had said unto them, as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? Verse 34, And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when Jesus was come nigh, even unto the scent of the Mount of Olives, the multitude of the disciples, now notice the difference between disciples and apostles is the apostles were appointed specifically to go and carry the gospel. That's when we think of the 12. That's who we think of. But disciples are those that followed, and there were multitudes, many, as we've been, some I've heard of you mention the program, The Chosen. And in that, you recognize that he had the 12 that walked with him and that were called by him. They helped establish the New Testament church. But they were many that followed along, just like you see Barnabas over in the book of Acts. He went out, and he almost was as influential as Paul was in his goings, just it's not recorded as much. All right, verse 27. And the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they all the mighty works that they had seen. Jesus blessed be the King, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And may God add the blessings to the reading of his word as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And God, I thank you for the sweet spirit and the words you spoke this morning. But God, we can't live on yesterday's bread or yesterday's word. So God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I pray right now that you come through the Holy Spirit and use your words to transform our hearts, to transform our thinking. And Lord, in that, you'll transform our lives. And God, we pray for those tonight that's dealing with many different issues, from physical needs to emotional needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, marriages, homes, all that's going on there. But God, we give you praise and glory that you're in control. And it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, before we get into tonight's lesson, how many of you had ever heard of the other procession coming in? Pilate's procession coming in. I've never heard of it before in my life, and I promise you, I've been to church, 9 months before you was born? I mean, that is basically how it is. But when you study it, it may not have fallen on the same day every month. That's just like Brother Otis. He's blessed this year that his birthday falls on Easter Sunday. And I thought, how random is that? But it's not random in God's setup. That how many people that you think ever lived can say, "I had a birthday on Easter Sunday or on Resurrection Sunday"? But God planned it out in such a way. And then it simply makes sense. Anytime there's going to be a great influx of tourists, what do? You have to get law in there to crowd control, right? You've got to have crowd control. So it was very, very neat. Did anybody go home and look it up? All right. And it's legit, ain't it, though? I mean, we can't say, and I know we had some others downstairs, but they got off on some rabbits, chasing rabbits like the preacher does as well. All right. How many of you has ever studied the entrance of Christ Jesus into the Jerusalem on that day? You've heard it taught, haven't you? In Sunday school and all that, you may not have sat down and did a Bible study on it, but you've sat under Bible studies, right? All right, quick question. We know that in 3 of the 4 Gospels, the account of Jesus telling the apostles to go over into the city, and you'll find a colt. Mark says that, because the Lord used this passage to bring me here, Mark in the King James Version says that you'll go to where 2 paths meet. And so basically it's talking about a crossroads. You'll go to a crossroads, and there you're going to find a donkey. But not only the donkey, you'll find the mother. And see, Jesus rode on which one? The colt, the one that was unbroke. The one that ne'er one had set upon. Isn't that what Scripture said? Ne'er one had set upon. And so when he went there, what did he tell his apostles to say if anybody came to him and said, "Why are you untying my horses? Why are you untying?" What was he supposed to say? What were they supposed to say? The master had need of him. And then what happened? They just unloosed it. So here's the question. Was that a divine encounter, or had Jesus set it up before time? We don't know, right? Does it change the meaning in any way? Not one lick. Not one lick does it change in any way. He may have. And the man may have known that when they come and say, "The master," he knew who the master was. Or it could have been that Christ said, "Go and get it." And they went and got it in his hands. But it doesn't change the truth. See, that's the kind of thing that you can get in endless discussions and disputes about, that the Bible says, don't get caught up in those things. Amen? All right, a few years ago, matter of fact, it was last Sunday night, I think it was around Palm Sunday, that we looked at this passage and we talked about what we could learn from a donkey. Now, this morning, we talked about how that riding on a donkey in those times was more to the idea of royalty than it is nowadays. As we think of the idea of war horses, and then we come through the times of the Middle Ages, how the knights would ride their horses in the battle, and they would do the jousting and things like that. We, in our European-type thinking, we get the idea of the prestige of a horse. We were raised up riding quarter horses, and then we moved to walking horses. And, I mean, it was just the awesomeness. But when you think about a donkey, what do you think about? When you think about a mule, what do you think about? Stubborn, you think about it. That's why I consider myself to be well acquainted with the mind of a donkey, because I do have a stubborn side, and I have a rebellious spirit about me at times. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. And be honest with you, I've had one hernia repaired and probably need the other one repaired because somebody says, you can't lift that. And I'm like, just I'll show you, I will. What's another thing? What was it?
Sure-footed.
They are. That's why they're so useful in the idea of plowing and things like that, that they're very good. And when you, I know that I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I've seen them riding those donkeys down into the Grand Canyon there. Anything else? They'll buck you. Yeah. You better know the horse. You better know the one you're getting on. But there's another reason why it is so amazing that Christ was able to just sit on the back of a donkey and ride them in. Anyone else? It's a beast of burden. I mean, basically, what's the old saying? Don't worry about the mule. Just load the wagon. Now, don't ever pray that. But that's the idea of it. And anything else? They can do more than what they look like they can do, don't they? I mean, when you think about a pull one, I've read and seen how they would take, especially in these areas and around where I'm from in Georgia, they would use those match pairs to pull trees that you would never imagine that an animal could pull or anything like that, but they have the strength to be able to pull it. And then we also see where in Numbers chapter 22, where Balaam's donkey spoke to him and basically said, you're not to go any further, that the Lord is working and you're out of God's will. I brought it up in class. Has any of you ever heard of that some believe that before the fall that animals could talk? These are things that it can get, because, I mean, did Eve freak out when the serpent spoke to her? We don't read about that, but again, does that matter? It doesn't matter. But the disobedient prophet who was eaten by a lion, but the donkey that he rode upon was spared. You remember that when that happens over in the 1 Kings chapter 13? He was a prophet and he was told to go into the northern kingdom and deliver the prophecy of God. And he was told to come straight back, but instead of coming straight back, an older prophet came and invited him to the house and talked him into coming. And then as he left there, the old prophet told him, you've broke God's will and you will be, but the donkey lives. And so the scene is, it's the Passover, and Josiah, that's where I got my numbers from, estimated, like we talked about this morning, that there could have been anywhere from 500,000 to 1 million people that come into Jerusalem at this time. And many of them would stay on over to the next feast, which we know today as Passover, but it was just 50 days thereafter. We call it Pentecost. I don't remember the name by which it goes in the Jewish calendar, but they would stay over those 50 days to celebrate, because you had two of the three major feast days and events of the Jews that would be there. So it would be very cramped, very built in. But this is not the first time that the Lord has, that we've seen God use the proclamation of the Old Testament. That's the first thing tonight. As we look on to and the idea of what can we learn from a donkey, the first thing that we can understand, and we talked a little bit about it this morning, is that when Jesus came riding in on the donkey, he came fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, many times when we think about the life of Jesus, because we really don't think about it, but we kind of think what Jesus did, even from the coming of his birth, was kind of done in a hidden sense. But through the scriptures, especially if we were of Jewish heritage, we would have been taught the scriptures as children, and we would have recognized, and they were things that specifically stood out when Christ came and all through his life, such as that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And it said, and Herod, assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And the scribes and chief priests told him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for so it is written by the prophet. So we see that they had the scripture. They also had the knowledge of the star, that it would come and reside. Remember, that's how the Magi, what we say the three Magi, the ones that brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh, they had enough understanding and learning in Scripture that they could see a foreign people, a Gentile people, the dogs, as the Jewish people would have looked at them. And even the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew that Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets. In fact, there are over 350 Old Testament prophets that Jesus fulfills. Isn't that amazing? And part of that is him riding in. Isaiah 53:9. And they made his grave with the wicked, and a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. So we see that where he was crucified between two sinners, knowing that one came to know Christ as Savior and the other one plunged headlong, but also the idea that he placed his grave, he spent his time in the tomb in a borrowed grave of a rich man. And then we see that he declared himself to be Messiah. That he said in John chapter 8, verses 58, he said, Jesus said unto them, and verily, verily, before Abraham, I am, specifically using the word that we know back in the Old Testament in the burning bush when the Lord called Moses. What did he say? Who am I saying to the people? Who am I to tell them that sent me? And he said, you tell them the I am that I am. So all through Jesus' life, all the way up to the end of his life, Jesus Christ, as we go to the cross, the suffering servant all the way, and this is just a part of Christ Jesus fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. So when we think of the donkey, when we think of the idea of Christ coming in, why is he coming in on the donkey? Number one, he's coming in as a fulfillment to the prophecies that's gone before him. And then the next thing is, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, that Jesus came to be the King of Peace, or as he was declared at his birth, the Prince of Peace. And we see that this morning as we talked about that Jesus came in from the west, and then you had Pilate with the troops coming in from the east, they came in from the west, Jesus came in from the east. And I got that clarified. Amen. So nobody will have to type it in on Facebook. But what we see is the opposition that he came as the Prince of Peace. Now we know Revelations chapter 19, it tells us that he is coming in on a horse. He will come on the war horse. But we see that the kingdom of heaven came in peace and humility and in submission to the authority that was at the time. But then we see the kingdom of man as it comes in there. But in the, as we think about the riding of a donkey, remember this morning we talked about how it was a symbol of royalty in the Old Testament, and it was also a symbol of peace and humility, as well as that of a servant, as well as that of a suffering king as well. But 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, the king also said unto them, Take with you a servant of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him to Gihon. So we see Solomon, the prince, we see him riding in on what? Not a prestigious horse, but on the donkey. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 2. And the king said to Ziba, why have you brought these? And Ziba answered, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on. This bread and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who faint in the wilderness to drink. So again, we see the idea of riding on a donkey is that of kingship, and that it carries with it not just for the king, but as it said right there, for the royal family, that they all had them. But then if you look in Judges chapter 5, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 4, and Judges chapter 12, verse 14, you'll see the idea of the kingly and the magistrate being able to ride on the donkey. And so from the prophetic message of Zechariah, the writer also focuses on the fact that the Messiah comes in peace. And it says that he's going to cut off or take away the weapons of war, the same as the war horse, and then he's going to speak peace to all nations. This is also a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And remember, this is one that we focus on at Christmas time, but remember, Christmas would not be able if we did not have the resurrection weekend, if we did not celebrate it. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father," and what's the last title? Prince of Peace. Amen. And as the angels sang over in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill, peace on earth and goodwill to all men." So as we consider the idea of a donkey, we should consider the idea that that's a fulfillment of prophecy. We see the idea that, yes, it is the incoming king. Actually, he was higher than Pilate. Pilate was just the underling of the king. And we know that Jesus came and submitted himself to the Father, but he had more authority than Pilate could ever imagine. And so the next one is that he came to bear our burdens. He came to bear our burdens. And this is what stood out to me. Jesus rode, as we think of him riding in, he rode on the donkey, on the foal, right? The one that was but the mother, I believe scripture teaches that the mother was there with the colt. He had an extra one to carry our burdens. Ain't that, I mean, that may not mean much to you, but I just think there, I cannot overload him. He came prepared, you know. And then in Genesis chapter 2, listen, it declares the role of a donkey, or excuse me, Genesis 42, not 2. Genesis 42, verse 26 and following. "Then they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money in the mouth of his sack." Anybody remember where that was from? Joseph, when they went back and they didn't recognize him at first, you remember? They took and they put it in the youngest one's sack. Benjamin, right? Wasn't it Benjamin? Yeah. And I remember he put it in there. But we see the idea of the burden bearer, you know, that Christ Jesus came to bear our burden. Now, we would never say that he is a beast of burden or degrade him in any way, but we also, what did he say? Bring your burdens to me, to lay them upon you. And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the hardest things I'm still learning how to do, is to be able to take my concerns, what's heavy upon my back, and able to just lay them on him. And even though I know what the Bible says, I know he's the burden bearer, but many times I just pick them back up and worry about them, even though I don't know. And that's a process of growing in the faith. And then when I do learn how to do it, then I think, well, you just don't care enough. You know, I mean, that's just the battle in the flesh, though, isn't it? I mean, when you've always got that battle. But the Urban Dictionary calls a pack mule someone or something that can be ridden or forced to carry objects for no pay or gratitude. Now, the sad thing is that many of us go through spells where we don't pay enough gratitude. We don't pay enough recognition for all that God done and all that he is doing. I'm going to tell you what, I stopped up at the top of the mountain today and just looked. And in one look, I saw three different peaks plus the one that I was standing on. And that's just amazing. And then you've got the pretty flowers and you've got the way that it just fades off in the distance. And I was talking on the phone. God blessed me to spend about 15 minutes with Brother Roy this afternoon. And I was standing up there, and I was just thinking, not only has God gave me the beauty that I'm up here to look at, but He's also gave me the people around me that help carry the burden as well. We are a blessed people, and we really don't understand it. We don't recognize how good it is. But like this afternoon, I thought I had another hour. I was enjoying just talking to people. Enjoying just hearing where people's at and what they're going through. Any thoughts or idea on any of them we've been through? And here's the last one. When we think of the donkey, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 22, and begin to read there. But you remember the account of Abraham and Isaac. And you remember that the story tells us that God told Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. You remember? And it tells us that Isaac and Abraham left out one morning and they took with them some lumber and they took with them some servants went with them. And then when they got to the foot of the mountain, what did Abraham tell his people? He says, "Me and the boy go up. But we will return," and they were to stay there. When he got up to the top of the mountain, you remember he laid him down on the altar. And he began, Bible tells us that he, and this is in Genesis 22, it tells us that he was basically in the action of bringing the dagger down, and God stopped him. And what did he hear in the bushes? A ram. But what did Abraham say? "The Lord shall provide for him a lamb." And you remember what they loaded the lumber on? Remember what it was? It was a mule, and then Isaac. If you look over in Genesis chapter 22, it says Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men and his son Isaac. You see, what we see in Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ coming in on the donkey is a picture. Is when we look back in the Old Testament, we're seeing a type of Christology or a type of deliverer. And in Jesus Christ, we see it fulfilled, just as He said that it was to come. God provided in Genesis 22 the ram, but He was providing the lamb. And what did John the Baptist say? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so what we see in Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. The Bible tells us that not only is He simply the perfect sacrifice, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 25 through 26, it says, "Whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith, this was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Now, I always thought that was a big fancy word, the word propitiation. But what it means is not only was He the perfect sacrifice in that He was the spotless lamb, there was no fault found in Him, but He was also the fulfillment of God's wrath. That God was able to, remember what it says in Isaiah 53, that it pleased God to put Him to this punishment. And that what God, in the punishment that Christ Jesus received, it was fulfilled. The truth is this, the reason that I could not fulfill my own salvation is because for nonetheless, I could not withstand the judgment of God. In my weakness, I have no power. His judgment would completely destroy me. But Christ Jesus was able, as the just man, as the spotless lamb, He was able to take it. And so tonight, as we think about the ideas of Jesus Christ riding in on the lamb, and as we see the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of this world. Does anybody have any other thoughts on Palm Sunday? Because if not, we're going to hell. But does anybody have any thoughts on Palm Sunday, what it represents? And it doesn't have to just be, because as you read Scripture, it seems like Jesus might have just went straight on into the temple and began to clean house there as well. On Palm Sundays, usually what you get from this preacher is the entrance, the donkey, or the cleansing of the temple. That's the three. I know I did one time about the washing of the feet. About the washing of the feet. Any other thoughts tonight? All right. Any other words of praise or testimony? Okie dokie. Y'all chalk this one up, okay? Just chalk it up. This Sunday. This is a miracle Sunday. You got out early in both. Brother Gary, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer tonight?
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this Lord's Day that you gave us. And Father, we pray that as it comes to an end, Lord, that as we depart from your house, Lord, that you will go with us and lead, guide, and direct us in all things that we do and say. For we can truly say that it has been good to have been in your house today, that to worship you, to praise you, and to hear your word, and we pray that it just finds a fertile place in our heart that we may better serve you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.